Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for the victories, the blessings. Thank you now for this hour. And prepare us, please, in heart and mind, and give us a ready ear for the word as preacher comes to preach it. Please tender our hearts and make that every one here would benefit from the service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Scripture, we'll not turn to it again, but in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13 is a wonderful verse, and we won't turn to it again. But we don't understand it. It says, having done all to stand. Now, we emphasize that word stand, but we don't emphasize doing all. So you can't stand till you've done all. Having done all to stand. I want to speak on that tonight. Having done all to stand. That means when you've done everything you can. Everything you can. And if you're going to lose, you can still stand. That means if you fought the enemy and you see no way out, but you've done all you can, all you can do, you fought with all your strength and all your energy, the Bible says then you can't do anything else. You can stand. The Lord doesn't say to stand. He says having done all to stand. And that means that before we ever take our stand, we're supposed to do everything we can. And then when you've done everything, you may not can win. You may not can grow. Bible doesn't say, having done all, grow. I'm for growth. That's not what the Bible says. Bible doesn't say, having done all, to teach. Though I'm for teaching. Bible says you've done everything you can do. You can stand. And the husband looks like he'll never get saved. And his fists keep hurling against your face. And the stripes are beaten across your back. You've prayed and you've witnessed and you've tried to be a good wife. Having done all, what can you do? You can stand. You can stand. When the weary missionary has given his life on a foreign field, it seems like that there's no way to win the battle. He's given all he can give. And he comes to the end of his life. He's done everything. What can he do? He can stand. Anybody can stand. I'm talking to folks tonight who've done all in some area of your life. You've done it all. And you don't know anything else to do. The Bible says, having done all, to stand. I don't hope tonight. Don't even hope for all the teenagers to listen to me. You haven't got the foggiest hope that the teenagers would listen to my sermon tonight. I haven't got any hope at all that you kids back in the back corners will hear what I got to say. No hope at all. I haven't got any hope at all. None. I haven't got any hope that you kids back in here, many of you, will be quiet enough to hear what I got to say. I have no hope. But I hope a few of you occasionally will hear just a little bit of what I've got to say. And I want to say this too. I'd hate to be a teenager that got as far as I could in the dark away from the preacher so I could cut up. I'd hate to be that. I have no hope. None. And I long for the day. I long for the day when our kids will be Christian again. I long for the day. I hope maybe some little bit of the sermon tonight, maybe you'll just get a word or two as I preach. Father, bless the message to our hearts tonight. And bless the messenger. And the one to whom the message is addressed, in Jesus' name, amen. In 1966, I faced my 40th birthday, the most traumatic time of my life, as I realized that I was on the downside of the hill, and that my years were more spent and left. And I decided to do several things with my life, and this is retracing old steps. I'll not labor you with it, belabor you with it, but I decided to give my life, to do what I could, my part, to save the old ship called America for another generation. That's the only hope. Folks, you think America's going to be saved? No, I don't think so. I'd like to see the judgment withheld for one more generation. That's all I hope for. If we can somehow keep the judgment of God from falling on this generation, on this nation for another generation, we'll hand it over to you and let you pray for it and work for it. And maybe your kids can be the recipients of your work and your labor. I found in the Bible a little term. In fact, I preached a sermon on it at pastor school called a covenant of salt. What does that mean? That means the Bible says that we're the salt of the earth. And God says that He'll make a covenant. If we can get enough salt to savor the earth, He'll withhold His judgment. That's exactly what happened in Genesis chapter 19 when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham came to God and said, God, I got a nephew, Arir. He's down there in Sodom. Said, Lord, don't destroy the city. He said, if I could find 50 righteous people, what Abraham was saying, Lord, is 50 people your covenant of salt? If I could find 50 righteous people, would you save the city? I got a young nephew down there, and I'm concerned about him. Would you spare the city? And God said, sure, I'd spare it for 50. And Abraham couldn't find 50 righteous. Now, hold it now. He didn't say save people. He said righteous people. I've given my life for these years two things. to restore old-fashioned soul-winning in America. But that's not all I've done. I've given my life to restore standards and principles and rights and wrongs in this country. God won't spare this country for saved people. God will spare this country for saved people who are righteous. Abraham, can you see Abraham going up and down the streets of Sodom trying to find 50 righteous people? Abraham can't find them. He comes back and he says, Dear God, he said, I know I asked you for 50, but said, would you settle for 45? Would 45 righteous people be okay for a covenant of salt? And God said, Abraham, I'll spare the city for 45 righteous people. And Abraham scours the city and tries to find 45. He can't find 45. And he comes back and says, God, would you spare the city if I could find 40 righteous people? And God says, yes, I would. That's the covenant of salt, too. Abraham tries to find 40, can't find 40. He comes back and says, Lord, would you spare the city for 30? God says, yes, I would. And he comes back and says, Lord, I can't find 30. Would you spare the city for 20? And God said, yes, I would. Abraham tries to find 20 righteous people in Sodom, and he says, Lord, I can't find 20. Would you spare it for 10? And God says, I'll make you a deal, Abraham. If you can find 10 righteous people, that'll be enough salt. Now, I don't know how many folks lived in Sodom, but I'll guarantee you there are hundreds of thousands of folks lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, and 10 righteous people could have spared the judgment of God and could have prevented God's wrath falling on the cities. And I believe with all my heart that God has a number set for America. Are you listening? I think God has a number set for America. A number of saved people who are righteous saved people. And I believe, I don't care what Mr. Kennedy does, and I got about as much use as Mr. Kennedy has to do a cobra snake. And a cobra snake's less deadly. And it's killed more people than the dirty liquor traffic caused to the Kennedy family. I said that because I said something about it another night and somebody didn't like it, and so I want to give you something else not to like. I mean, I don't care what the Kennedys. Listen. Jane Fonda can't destroy this country if we can have a covenant of salt to present to God. And the Kennedys and the McGoverns and all the rest and the Mondales and the Jesse Jacksons and all the rest of the liberal crowd can't destroy this country if God's people will present to God a covenant of salt. And I'll be honest with you. Last year, I preached over 38,000 preachers, and I mean I poured my soul out every time. I never walked back to a motel room at night. This is the truth. I never walked back to a motel room at night and walk in the empty room without having given all I got. Some nights I have less to give than other nights, but I always give it all of God. I don't care if I'm preaching to 200 people. They get the same energy when I preach to thousands of preachers in a great convention somewhere. I want to tell you something tonight, and I want to, if the teenagers would like to hear me just a minute or two during the service, I'd like for you to hear this. I'll be honest with you, kids. Some of you betrayed me. You betrayed me. I'm talking about some of you Hammond Baptist High School students. You betrayed me. I mean, you betrayed you. I've given my life for you. I mean that. You don't know it now, but you'll know it someday, and I've given my life for you, and sometimes I just wonder if it's worth it. My greatest heartbreak is the teenager. That's my greatest heartbreak. I shed more tears, feel more burden, feel lonelier because of the teenagers. Now, I'm not saying all our teenagers are bad, but a heap of them are. And you betrayed me. I've given my, and I'm not kidding, I've given my life for you. Night after night. For what? I'm trying to find the covenant of salt to keep God Almighty from destroying your nation. And brother, you just go ahead with your rock music, and you just go ahead with your dirty living, and you just go ahead with your disobedience, and you just go ahead. Listen, not let somebody else say amen, but I don't want just you saying amen. I'm saying, go ahead. But I'll guarantee you, if God be God, and if this Bible is true, if you don't get with your preacher and decide to do what you can to be righteous, you mark it down, you're going to live in a nation that is enslaved to paganism, and you're going to lose your freedom if you don't get up and set up and take notice and realize somebody's trying to save your nation for you. And I say again, you betrayed me, kids. Some of you have. You betrayed me. And yet the truth is, this is the message. I counsel with them. Hundreds of them a week, a month, dozens a week. Doc, I just wonder sometime if they've got a chance. I just wonder. I counsel with parents. and brother, it's no wonder our kids are like they are. I mean, most of them, they haven't got a chance to turn out right. Not a chance. Why? Because we adults, we haven't given them a chance. What chance do they have? When a baby is born in America, he has only one chance in two to have the same parents rear him that gave birth to him. What chance have they got? You know, sometimes, listen to me, I'm not advocating abortion at all. But I'll tell you what, I think the little babies that are born out of wedlock or sometimes aborted might be the lucky ones. I mean, they go on to heaven. And if they get born, most of them won't know who their daddy is, ever. I'm not advocating abortion. But I will tell you something. There are a lot of kids that were not aborted that are dead sure been better off if they had been aborted. What chance do they have? Some of you people criticize the bus ministry. Every once in a while, somebody at the college says something like, you're spending too much time in the bus ministry. And that's the silliest thing I ever heard of. That's silly. What do you mean? Spend too much time trying to help little kids haven't got a chance in the world? What do you mean? Thank God somebody is trying to save these poor kids who have no other chance in the world to turn out right. I don't understand it. You've got to cool something off. Cool off your history classes. Don't cool off your bus ministry. You got to cool off. Cool off. Wanda Pini with a shoulder sote. The drought of Marsh has perished the rothy and bothered every vein in speech of the court. And I want to say this tonight. Brother, when you cast any reflection at all on the bus ministry, you got Hiles to fight. I mean, thank God, somebody. One of our members said a few years ago, I tell this all across the country, I don't tell it here very much, said to me, he said, Brother Howes, I'm a little tired of these buses. Well, look the other way. You Pharisee. He said to me, why, he said, Brother Howes, he said, why L. Mooney built that great Mooney church over there? He didn't run any buses. I said, no, he didn't have buses in those days. He ran horses and wagons all over Chicago. All of, listen, I mean, just like we carry buses all over Chicago, Mr. Mooney had horses and wagons, and this Pharisee said to me, Brother Howes, our buses leak oil. We got oil all over the parking lot. And I said, I wonder what Mr. Mooney had on his parking lot. He said, but that oil stinks. I expect Mr. Moody's wanting Chanel number 5. Oh, there's nothing the devil likes anymore than for somebody to cast one little innuendo at the greatest evangelistic thrust on the face of God's earth all across this nation. More sinners will be in heaven and saved from hell because of the bus ministry than any other single ministry in the world today. Don't you ever, don't you ever, don't you ever. Boy, you got more to battle than you'll ever battle and be able to handle. You got a tiger by the tail. I mean, thank God, somebody cares. Well, you say, I don't like what you're preaching. I'm sure you can find some little panty waist preacher who has lace on his undies that you can find that'll adjust the sermon to your little wishes and washes. Why don't you go to join a country club and get out of the church if you're going to. You want a real Bible preacher and a gospel preacher and a man that'll preach it. I mean, listen, over there in Chicago, there's not a single little child on the streets of Chicago that Jesus didn't die for. I wonder sometimes if they have a chance. One half of our children have a new mom or a new dad pushed on them before they're grown. When one day a week, they spend 2 hours with Daddy. I know what I'm talking about. I know what it is as a child for Dad to call and say, son, meet me at a drugstore for a while. I go around the corner and shyly hoping none of my friends will see me meet my Daddy because I'm afraid he'll be drunk. He talks to him about 30 minutes and then gives me a dollar or two and then goes off and I wonder why he can't come home. I know what it's like. I just wonder when we parents are going to wake up and give these kids a chance to turn out right. I wonder if they have a chance when the whores and harlots come into their homes every afternoon to entertain their mothers. Did you hear what I said? I said, ha, whores and harlots. I wonder what chance they have. I wonder what chance they have when people sleep together on the television set in your living room in the afternoon. What chance have the kids got? Why don't some of you ladies get religion? I'm not trying to get you to do my thing or live my way. I'm trying to say, in God's name, He gave you a never-dying soul at your lap. Now, don't you let whores come in your house. What chance do they have? When Dad's in this room tonight, and I'm not going to betray anybody's confidence. When Dad's in this room tonight, half a dozen I know of who bored holes in their bedroom closet doors so they can watch their own daughters undress through the hole in the closet wall. What chance have these kids got? What chance do they have when Hammond Baptist grade school children come to me, and their mamas come, and the Hammond Baptist grade school children, some of them, are afraid to be alone with their dads. Well, that's as sorry as the devil. That's as rotten as the hell that spawned it. Every child has a right to have a daddy who treats a child with propriety and dignity. Every child has a right
have a mom and dad who believe the book and are clean-minded and pure-hearted.
Brother, my heart breaks because of the kids, but I'll be honest with you. I turn my face to the wall many a time at night before I go home. Some child that's in deep sin, or some teenager in deep sin, has broken my heart, and I find out the condition at home, and I say, what chance do they have? What chance do they have? And some of our college girls, Doc, are afraid to go home for Thanksgiving for fear of their attack, sexual attack by their dads. I wish you could stand in my office sometime and see some precious, lovely, sweet, virgin young lady look up at me and say, preacher, I want to know if I should go home for Thanksgiving. And I said, why shouldn't you? And she said, my dad has fondled me all my life. I don't know anything any more wicked than that. She says, I'm afraid to go home. I want to see my daddy. I can't comprehend that. I have three daughters. I don't understand that. I can't comprehend it. What chance do they have? And Christian parents let rock music in their homes. Let the kids decide what kind of music's played in the home. All over this room tonight. I'm talking about choir members. I'm talking about deacons. I'm talking about Sunday school teachers. What chance have they got? Well, you say, I tried it, and they got bitter. I know. You love them like I love mine. They wouldn't get bitter when you tried it. What chance do they have? Christian parents video the soap operas in the afternoon so their teenage daughters won't miss the latest sordid chapter in Who Slept With Whom. And moms videotape that filth and garbage so their little daughters can come home and watch the same cesspool that mama sinned with in the afternoon. I want to tell you something. God Almighty is going to stand one day. You're going to stand before God, and you're going to give an account for the fact that you didn't give that kid a chance. What chance do they have? Fundamental parents allow unmarried children to drive at will in cars alone with the opposite sex. And I'm going to preach this. I don't care if nobody does it. I don't care if you go ahead and let your kids ride in these rolling motels and in these love boats with wheels. I don't care if you don't like it. I don't care if you keep on doing it. I don't care if nobody in this church likes me, loves me, cares for me. I am going to try to beat some sense in your head. You keep your kids out of these cars alone. If you kids don't like it, you just rump it the best way you can. You know what's wrong. You know what's wrong with it. You know. I know you're not listening to me. I'm saying I've done all. Bless God, I have done all, and I'm going to still stand. Chance of the God. You say, I trust my kids. Now, you're an idiot. You're crazy. What chance do they have when I preach on stuff like this? When deacons and Sunday school teachers smile in their hearts and say, well, God bless him. I appreciate him because of his courage and I love him. But as far as you're concerned, you disregard my preaching as if I were a lovable Martian, not acquainted with Earth's realities. What chance have they got? Parents, I beg you, what chance have they got? All I'm doing is pleading with you to help your kids turn out right, and I know something about how to get them to turn out right. 38 years I've been pastoring. For 38 years I've been weeping my heart out about kids and teenagers. 38 years! Come to the place to where I wonder the chance for them. What chance do they have? Christian parents use teens for babysitters, so parents can be middle-aged teenagers for the night. You know what I thank God for? I thank God I've always lacked what age I am. I thank God I'm not trying to reach forward or backward. I thank God I'm 57 years old. And I bless God for it. And I'll tell you, it's time that, you know, we've got an affluent society where moms and dads never grew up. Grandmothers want to look like granddaughters. You know, I probably shouldn't say this because I'm going to get in trouble about 1,000 ladies here tonight. But I'm going to say it anyhow because I'm just going to unload the whole truck. You see, whatever happened to sweet old grandmothers? Whatever happened to sweet mothers? What chance do the kids have? when young people whose dads are deacons and Sunday school teachers and church leaders go week after week and never hear Daddy pray. How long has it been since your child heard you say, "Oh, God, bless my child"? What chance do they have? Young people whose dad, moms, are leaders in the church never hear Mama pray for them. Never hear Dad read the Bible. Never hear Mama read the Bible. What chance do they have? Color television is within the reach of your finances, but Christian camp is too expensive to afford, so it becomes optional to the young person. What chance do they have? When school is more important than church. I love our schools. Thank God for them. But I'll guarantee you one thing. Brother, it's time that moms and dads stop to realize that what's going on here tonight's more important than what's going on in Shererville tomorrow morning. If you believed it, you'd take a midweek trip instead of a weekend trip. I mean, the church is a nice little thing if there's nothing else to do. What chance do the kids have when the schoolhouse is more important than the church house and the teacher of math is more important than the man of God? They can lay in bed on Sunday morning if they don't feel real well, but boy, Monday, they're going to trot to school. What chance do they have? What chance do they have? And in this room, there are many parents, teenagers in this room right now, and I'm not trying to hurt you, I'm trying to help you. Someday you'll understand that. You won't understand it tonight. But there are parents of teenagers all over this room. You don't even know where your teenager is sitting at this minute. And your kid could get up and walk out of the church, and they do! And ditch church, and you don't even know about it. What, pray tell me, what chance do they have? You don't know where they are. If I ask every parent of teenager in this room tonight, if you know exactly where your kid is right now, most of you could not raise your hand. And I want to tell you, until you get enough concern about them to be sure you know where they are on Sunday night and know they're in church. By the way, I sort of think they ought to be where you can see them. I'll go a step further. Whatever happened to moms and dads sitting with the family in church anyhow? Of course my heart's broken for teenagers, but it wouldn't be broken if moms and dads would give these poor kids a chance to turn out right. And I'll tell you something else too. It's time some of you moms and dads or teenagers found out we have an altar in this church. You think the altar's built for a bunch of college kids when the truth is you're not right with God and you too ought to learn there's an altar here. I'm not going to come back. I'm not trying to get you back. I'm trying to stand while you're here. A lot of little panty-waist preachers you can find tonight. All of this area. But I will tell you something. I'm not asking you to like me or hate me. I'm asking you to give your poor kids a chance to turn out right. Chance to the have. When young people are allowed to sit on the back row and have a party while a man of God's trying to help them. What chance do they have? When church-going mothers and dads puff cigarette smoke so children can learn better how to get cancer quicker? What chance do they have? When mixed bathing is condoned and encouraged. Now I want to tell you something. Don't you snicker when I'm talking about mixed bathing. When men and women take their clothes off and show their bodies and show their thighs, it's as wicked as the devil. Time you could say, well, the preacher and I disagree. Well, get right with God and the preacher and you'll agree on that. And there's not a red-blooded man in this room tonight unless you're from San Francisco. But what knows, I'm telling you the truth. You know what you do. You know why people, men go out to the beach and watch the ladies. You know that. You sit there with your little piddling excuses. I want to serve notice. Listen, this is the North. I don't care. I preach against tobacco in Carolina. Boy, the other day I was in North Carolina, and a fella, he embarrassed himself to death. We're driving down the highway, and the corn, they only raise corn and tobacco in Carolina. Corn to make them well, and tobacco to kill them. And I said to the fella, boy, corn is terrible. This guy was a farmer, and he said, before he knew it, he said, yeah, but he said, thank God the tobacco crop was good. And then he said, oh, Lord, have mercy. I was down in North Carolina preaching one Monday night, and I hit tobacco, Boy, they bristled like a porcupine in a tornado. Though I've never seen one. But I have an imagination. And boy, they got mad. And I said, I preach against smoking in North Carolina, beer in Milwaukee, and mixed bathing on Miami Beach. You said, you're going to change me. I know I'm not. Won't change a lot of folks about drinking, but I can stand. After the service, nobody spoke to me. Not ever mad. I told him that night, I said, if God intended for your nose to be a stovepipe, he'd bend down a brick and put it on top of your head. You say, I smoke. No, you don't. Cigarette smokes, you just suck. You're the sucker. You say, you're preaching a bit uncouth. Yeah, your life's a bit uncouth, too. You get your life couther, I'll get my preaching couther. I walked out, shook the dust off my feet. We have folks that can testify they were there. I had about a half mile drive down the Holiday Inn. On the way, I saw a fire. In fact, I got the Holiday Inn, the lights were off because the fire had cut the lights off and burned the wires to the Holiday Inn. Biggest fire you ever saw in your life. And I said to the fellow, asked the fellow in the Holiday Inn, what is that? He said, that's the biggest tobacco barn in this county. It's burning to the ground. And I said, thank God I'm still his man. I walked in the next night. The folks didn't like what I preached the first night. And I said, did you see the world's biggest ashtray? What chance did they have? When young people leave church during the service and the parents are surprised to find out. What chance the kids have when mom and dad criticize the church, the school, church program in front of their kids? What chance do the children have when teenagers are required to practice piano with youth activities optional? Aren't you dumb? I mean, they have to beat on the little ivory keys. But to go to the youth activity, they can decide about that. You say, I can't make them do it. You make them do a lot of stuff. What chance do they have when youthful hoods can egg cars and houses while parents charge it off to youthful energy being expended? It's youthful devilment's going to be judged. Man right there has had his house egged twice in the last week, Mr. O'Clair. And you little punks that did it, God have mercy on you. But the deacons passed a rule last night. You get 50 demerits. You got to clean it up. And we're going to call you in. And by the way, we'll have folks watching for license plates in front of houses. I mean, you're not going to get by with it. You're not going to do it. You're just not going to do it. You're not going to take, listen, brother, the hippies may do it, and the communists may do it, but bless God, old Hammond Baptist High School is not going to do it. You're not going to do it. They're going to catch you and call the police and turn you in. And we've already talked to one police chief in this area about it. But what chance have they got? Moms and dads laugh it off as being, when we were kids, we had our little things too. Yeah, and you were kids, your dad had a little thing too called a razor strap. What chance did they have? When Love Boat is known better in your household by the kids than Noah's Ark. And MASH is more popular than the Word of God. And children don't know where daddy is or who daddy is. When moms and dads make a Grenada out of their homes and more warfare inside the house than there is in Grenada or Beirut, Lebanon. What chance do they have when there's threes in the company and Wonder Woman and Edge of Night and As the World Turns, General Hospital and Love Boat and MASH and All in the Family and Taxi and Happy Days and Heart to Heart, and Bay City Blues, and Soap, and Dallas, and Texas, and Benny Hill, and Johnny Carson and Barney Miller and Dynasty and Fantasy and the Fall Guy and Saint Elsewhere and the Hill Street Blues and Knots Landing and the Days of Our Lives and All My Children and Another World and the Guiding Light and Laverne and Shirley. Bunch of whores piped into your house night after night. Praise tell me, what chance do the young people have? Whatever happened to pulling taffy? Popping popcorn? Whatever happened to playing? Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I say, one of these days, I'm going to say that too. Of course, brother, you listen. Moms and dads, you're not going to get by with it. You're not. Chance the kids have when church members pipe movies in the living rooms at home. When HBO is on the television sets of people in this room tonight. And brother, that's as wicked as the devil, and you know it is. And the movie channel pipes in lesbianism, homosexuality and adultery right inside your living room or your family room. And we say, hey, well, let this school. May as well send them to a public school. May as well put them in a public home. I mean, listen, brother, all that Hammond Baptist School is supposed to do is back up what you teach at home. If you don't teach at home, listen, the trouble with America is, listen, I wouldn't give you a dime for every public school in this country, and I'd rather my kids never read and write than go to one, but I want to tell you something, brother. The trouble with America is not inside the public school system. The trouble with America is inside the homes of God's people and members of First Baptist Church of Hammond. What chance they got? I talk to them. They come to my study. They tell me. I know what's going on. What chance do they have? Many a little girl, many a little girl has given her precious body and her virginity and her chastity to the hands of a wicked guy who would never have done it if she just had a mama at home who knew how to hug her and say, I love you. But she gets 16 years old, mama. It's too late to start it. She don't want to get your hands on her then. It's too late to start it. Folks, our kids haven't got a chance. You say, what's wrong with the Hill Street Blues? What's wrong with the Bible? What's wrong with decency? I'm not preaching anything new. I've been preaching this 38 years. And I'm having a tough time finding a place to stop. What chance do they have when someone gets burdened for young people and decides to work on a bus route and we douse their zeal and minimize their efforts? What chance do they have when defending America is radical and dirty draft dodgers interviewed on television and given free time on the talk shows? What chance do they have when moms dress could get her more demerits than her teenage daughter gets at school? What chance we got when most of you ladies couldn't pass inspection at school where your daughter goes? And a heap of you men, your haircut wouldn't keep you in Hammond Baptist school system. What chance they got? We got a bunch of teenage dads that won't look like mod hippies. You know what y'all do? You ought to just quit that hairdresser, fellas, and go to the barber again. Boy, it'll be a cold day where the booger man lives before a female gets hold of my hair. I was down in Houston, Texas years ago. Had to get a haircut. Walked into a barber shop. Sat there reading the paper and a little voice said, you're next! I said, no, I'm not. No. I got up and walked out. Where are you going? I said, doing the same thing that Samson ought have done. What chance did they have? And mothers look like fathers from the shoulders down. And fathers look like mothers from the shoulders up. What chance do they have? What chance do they have when Christian parents have no curfew for unmarried children?
I don't understand. I can't comprehend it. You don't know where they are. And if you know where they are, it's midnight and they're gone. I don't understand it. I just can't comprehend it. If you want to fire me tonight, I'd like to make an announcement. I'm starting a new church across the street in the parking lot tomorrow, next Sunday morning. And I do the preach of truth in a jailhouse. And to pussyfoot to 5,000-6,000 people. And I do the preach the truth to the rescue mission, or stand on the street corner, or go out to O'Hare Field with the Hare Krishna people, and just pass out tracts to O'Hare Field and preach that judgment's coming as travelers walk down a hallway, then to get behind a pulpit that's sacred and trim a message and let you, listen. I'm not going to change most of you. You're going to let your kids go to hell whether I holler or not. I'm not going to change you, but I can stand a chance to the hell and bus kids are second class citizens. When decency in Hammond Baptist High School is called in straight. When zealous Hiles Anderson students are called hackers by a bunch of punks. And you parents let them do it. Well, they mean well. Well, if they mean well, have them talk well. Take a little tranquilizer here. Calm me down a little bit. Our kids haven't got a chance. They haven't got a Chinaman. Pardon me. Haven't got a whole lot. Haven't got a chance. No way. Haven't got a chance. No chance at all. None. And brother, it's not his fault. It's your fault. 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 Bless God, some of these 4-foot teachers and principals, they have the hardest time of their lives trying to undo Monday through Friday what you do on the weekend. Our kids haven't got a chance. When fundamental churches call standard legalism. When fundamental preachers look like the Rolling Stones. When TV, Christian TV, looks like the Johnny Carson show. When parents shop for a church that believes the Bible, but whose standards match their own. We'll lose folks tonight. Folks will walk out of this church tonight mad. Why? Because I'm trying to help them. And you won't face reality. You won't face it. You'll trot all over the area trying to find some little pussyfoot and air tickling, bash scratching, penny pinching, nickel dipping, salt soap and pink, tea and lemonade compromiser, wears lace on his undies, and you'll find him, and you can sit there and find some little fellow that'll feed you what you want. But brother, here, it's like the army chow. We just cook what we feel like you need, and you hold your tray out, and we just fork it over. Sometimes I think the battle's lost. I mean that. I walk out of my office some nights, my coat over my shoulder, my heart broken, and tears in my eyes, and I just wonder, is it worth it? What's the answer? Having done all, stand. I stood years ago and lost my college, where I went to college. Had my college president tell me I was one of the 2 best students ever attended to college. I said, Jack, you've got to trim your message. I said, I can't trim it. It's God's message, not mine. And tonight in the college where I got my degree, if I went back to visit chapel, they wouldn't ask me to speak. You know why? Because I stood. I didn't correct the school. I did all I could, but having done all, then I stood. I stood. And I don't say this lightly. I lost the friends of a lifetime in 1 hour. My denomination said, you support our schools or you're gone. Schools that allow drinking on campus, little majorettes to strut down the middle of a field on a halftime showing their thighs so wicked men minds can lust after them and commit adultery in their minds up in the grandstand, smoking on campus. They said, you got to support that. I said, I can't do it. No way. I lost my friends of a lifetime. I mean that. In 1 hour. I said, did you clean it up? No, I didn't. I did all I could. After I'd done all I could, I stood. I lost my home church. Church was called to preach. Licensed and ordained, wouldn't let me preach behind the pulpit tonight. You know why? Because I'm not going to support a wicked cooperative program
where a bunch of worldlings take your money and send it to universities that deny the faith. I wouldn't give a dime to Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. Not a dime. And I wouldn't give a dime to seminary I attended in Fort Worth either. And I wouldn't give a dime to college I attended either. Say, did you change it? Did you change it? No, I didn't. I did all I could and understood. And I'm 57 years old. I guess I may as well just finish it that way. You whitewashed Billy Sunday's sepulcher. And yet you couldn't take his preaching for 3 weeks. You whitewashed Charles G. Finney's sepulcher and read his life story. And yet his church, it was too big for you. Brother, the church is right with God in this area. It's going to be too big for you later on. If it's small now, it's going to be too big later on. What you all do is find you a country club to join. They're small. We whitewashed Sam Jones' sepulcher. And yet the Sam Jones is alive today with the same convictions are considered legalists. We whitewashed John Rice's sepulcher. And brother, you couldn't take his preaching 6 months if you were your pastor. So what do you expect to do preaching like that? You're not going to change us. Maybe not. But I can wash my hands of your blood and I can face my Savior and tell him I did the best I could. The Bible doesn't say having done all, be popular. Doesn't say having done all, grow. Doesn't say having done all, be beloved. Though God knows there's not a preacher alive that loves to be loved any more than I do. Not a preacher alive that finds as hard a time preaching a sermon like this as I do. You say, if you loved us, you wouldn't be so mean. Listen, brother, you don't know a thing about love till you stand up and preach a sermon to people you love like you love your own life, like I preached tonight. You don't know what love is. These little robe-wearing pussyfooters down their own home in Liberal Row, they haven't got enough love to ask you to come back and let them tell you some more tonight. Love is not the fellow that doesn't tell you about the rattlesnake. Love's the fellow that tells you there comes a snake. Love's not the fellow that says, no bridge out. Love's the fellow that says, bridge out down the road. Say, what can you do? I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I just wonder if anybody listens to me. I mean that. I just wonder sometimes if I'm not a voice crying in the wilderness. I just wonder sometimes if it's not like Jeremiah who preached and nobody listened. They walked by and Jeremiah said, is it nothing to you? If you knew what goes on beaches. Oh, but you say, we take two or three families out to a private place and do our mixed bathing. Oh, we have a swimming pool in the backyard and we get several families to do our mixed bathing. Yeah, but you're creating an appetite that your kids are going to have when they get married. They can't afford a swimming pool in the backyard. And they won't go to beaches either. Private beaches. And I'll just say something else, too. You can like it or lump it. You're crazy to put your wife out there in a bathing suit and invite, I don't care who it is, over to your bathing pool. Or to your private beach somewhere. I don't care who it is. Well, you sit with the house and I do that. I don't have any evil thoughts. They're doctors for people like you. Or maybe you enjoy San Francisco for a change. Because I don't like your preaching. You don't have any choice. Bless God, I'm going to try to save your kids. If you don't give a hoot, I do give a hoot. They're going to change me. I know, but I can stand. Not a group of people in the world tonight have a preacher that loves them more than I love you. Not a one. Nobody. Nobody. I'll tell you something else, too. Jim Vineyard said, there's not a preacher alive, and he was here 4 years and watched me. He's not a preacher alive that gives himself to his people like Dr. Hiles, Brother Hiles does. He said that 4 years. He knows. All I'm asking you to do, moms and dads, is help me. I long for the day. I long for the day when the fellows that represent us on the football field don't even know how to say a bad word. I long for that day. My heart aches because of it. I long for the day. I long for it when our kids can graduate from our schools and not then take all restraints off. Nothing breaks my heart any more than for our kids to graduate from our schools and come back to the football game sitting on the sideline smoking cigarettes with long hippie hair. Kids, hey kids, teenagers, I got a good idea. Hey, all you kids up in the back. Hey, all you kids, I got a good idea. I got something you can do. You'll enjoy this. Won't you get a knife tonight or a dagger? Won't you get one?
Get out the house where I live, 8232 Greenwood, and hide in the bushes.
When I walk in late tonight, grab the dagger and stick it right here. Watch my blood drip. And it won't hurt half as much as I hurt tonight. Won't you get a gun and hide out here in the alley? Get up on the roof of the house. Hey, kids, I got a good idea. I got a good idea for you, teenager. Hey! Won't you get up on top of the house with a pistol tonight out here in the alley? As I walk to my car, take aim and shoot the gun right at my head and get on the top of me and laugh while I die. Folks, I haven't got much of a chance. They just don't really have much of a chance. 24 years and 2 months I've been behind this pulpit. Same one. If God will let me, I want to preach my last sermon here. And I want to die behind this pulpit. I want to go to heaven from where I stand right now. I said from where I stand. Having done all, when it's all over, I just want